This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
They come in here. He ran for 70 yards. They call him the best rusher in the league. We're sending this home early.
I posted the comments that you said to me. And all over social media, everybody said you better watch your back, that you're saying things that you can't cash. Everybody on social media saying, back.
They must not know who I am yet. They gonna find out sooner or later when I got that ring on my finger. At the end of the day, we champions. AFC, that trophy that got my own and last name on it, that's the KC. That's KC. Ain't no fall off. Last year, jump off sides, all that. I told them when I got here, this gonna change. Look at this. We the best in the world.
Kansas City Chiefs advance. Frank Clark pretty happy about it. Texans fans not happy about it, wondering what could have been. It is Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Texans are firing people. First, it was John Pagano, the outside linebacker coach. He gone. Then it was Chris Olsen, the cap guy. He gone. Then this morning, it was Romeo Crennel, replaced by Anthony Weaver. He gone. So what's next for the Houston Texans? Are they clearing the way for a new general manager, or are they simply allowing King Bill O'Brien to reign even more at NRG?
This is a coup. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it has a lot of the markings of that. If you just step back and look at how Bill O'Brien has worked over the last 3 or 4 years, okay? Everyone who has stood in his way, he's stepped over or dispatched, gotten rid of. Rick Smith, you know, let's talk about some of the other guys that are gone. Rick Smith gone. They butted heads and weren't on the same page. And Rick Smith actually did some pretty dang good things, especially getting rid of the Osweiler contract. Brian Gain tried to step over him, didn't work. He's gone. So with every move that he makes, every power play that he makes like that, Bill O'Brien is gaining strength and momentum and power. Now, he may say he doesn't care about power, but clearly he does, or else he wouldn't be doing these things. And then you move on to now, where they were going to replace Brian Gain, and then they didn't because they wanted this, quote, flat organizational structure. Well, who does that give power to? Because who's going to argue with the head coach on these decisions when other guys have been ousted by the head coach, in essence? And now you've got, I think the Romeo Crennel thing we shouldn't necessarily lump in there because it was going to happen anyway. I think Romeo, as good as he was ready to retire or move on. And Anthony Weaver had paid his dues, and Anthony Weaver's going to be be fine in that job, I think. But everything that Bill O'Brien does has been a power move. For who? For him. You can talk about not wanting power all he wants, but every decision and every move that he makes gives him some more power, including this, just basically muting everybody in the building, including the owner, so he's the only voice that any of us hear. It's all about Bill O'Brien gaining this power, no matter what he says.
Okay, I can understand that, and I can get what you're saying. It's about Bill O'Brien power. And if we are to assume that Bill O'Brien's going to have power regardless of who they bring in, if they do bring in a GM, I think the one guy that can satisfy both sides of the fence mm-hmm. in regards to Bill O'Brien, whether you think maybe he can improve internally and the Texans can take the next step, or you believe that someone can come in and Bill O'Brien will have to answer to him, I think it goes back to the Nick Caserio situation with the New England Patriots. I think Nick Caserio, to the optimist in me, on my side of the fence, that thinks that a guy could come in and make Bill O'Brien answer to him, I think Nick Caserio would be that guy. Now, from someone that I will admit mm-hmm. has more substance and more evidence to his line of thinking, I think Nick Caserio would satisfy you as well. And allow me to explain that.
Okay.
Nick Caserio has been in operations for the New England Patriots for a long, long time. He's been doing these type of things that GMs do, that we expect GMs to do, whether it's the draft stuff, whether it's the cap stuff. The Aaron Hernandez documentary, by the way, Aaron Hernandez wrote Nick Caserio a letter saying that he was going to take more drug tests and stuff. So Nick Caserio's been on that side of things for a long time. The other thing he does, and this is another thing that I think Bill O'Brien skeptics on both sides of the fence are worried about, is he's an offensive mind. Mm-hmm. He's a guy that could help Bill O'Brien when it comes to game planning, not just throughout the week, but during the day, because Nick Caserio has been in the offensive meetings for the New England Patriots since he was there.
Right.
To the point where when they brought in Randy Moss and Wes Welker, they put Nick Caserio as the wide receiver coach. And he had a headset on in game day, and this according to Albert Breer, including when Bill O'Brien was calling plays with the New England Patriots. So the year that Bill O'Brien holds his hat on, and the year when Bill O'Brien had his best year calling plays, you can talk about the players and stuff, but Nick Caserio had a headset on and was involved in that. So I think as far as satisfying both extremes and the most realistic solution to the Bill O'Brien problem, or minimizing the Bill O'Brien problem, I think Nick Caserio, the guy the Texans tried to get a few months back, I think he satisfies all of those results. And when his contract expires in May, I think if Nick Caserio comes here, it would make me feel better, and I think it would make you feel better as well, John.
Well, I would feel better if, you know, we're being idealistic, and he can actually tell Bill O'Brien no, and have some leverage with that with that no. I think the problem is they're in a situation where Nick Caserio is a football guy that's been in the personnel department. He's kind of been all over the place in the organization, so he knows a lot about a lot of different things. He is not a chief negotiator to the level that Chris Olsen was, and that's going to be a problem. Because here's the other thing. Not only are you coming in as, quote, general manager, but not really having power to say no to the head coach, you're coming into a couple of negotiations that are going to be the biggest in the history of this organization. Laramie Tunsil, your left tackle, is got all the leverage over you. You traded two first-round draft picks for him. You just told his agent, that's how much we want him, but you don't have a contract for him. You didn't get that done. So now he's going to have all the leverage over. And you're the franchise quarterback that you've craved. What's he going to get, $35 million a year, Deshaun Watson? I mean, this is going to be a tough, tough negotiation. And you're bringing a guy in that did it part-time? I think Bill O'Brien's going to be in on some of these negotiations. That's how crazy it is. That's how much power he has.
I don't think he wants to be in on negotiations. I think there's a lot of things Bill O'Brien likes. But I find it hard to believe that Bill O'Brien wants to be in on negotiations.
Well, not like maybe tables across the table, but certainly involved in what he wants to spend on these guys.
But do you not agree that Nick Caserio would make you feel a little bit better on your side of things and make me feel a little bit better on my side of things? Do you not agree that of all the moves that need to be made, realistic, unrealistic, like we can sit here and talk moves and stuff like that, but as far as solving problems or as far as making us feel better about the Houston Texans,
if he can take something off his plate,
do you think that Nick Caserio would satisfy both ends for the Texans?
Like in terms of
everything that I just talked about, the offensive game planning, the fact that he's been in the exec side of things, the fact that he has credibility because he's been with New England the whole time. Do you think that he would satisfy those types of things?
I mean, he's qualified. I just don't know if that's going to happen. You know, because OB spent all this time stepping over or ousting other people. He's not going to bring in a guy that he doesn't have control over.
But do you not think that kind
of
works?
He has the qualifications.
But don't you think that works against him? Because I'm not disputing the fact that what you're saying is true, but don't you think that works against him when it comes to Cal McNair or whoever making those decisions? Don't you think the fact that that has happened, I know it shows that in the past he's been able to do whatever the hell he wants, but wouldn't that work against him when it comes to bringing in a guy like Caserio?
It should. It should work against Bill O'Brien.
But we can both agree that what should doesn't always isn't always what is with the Texans.
Exactly.
We can agree on that.
And exactly, you know, the flow chart of power is still going to start with Bill O'Brien. So I think by default.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Is it though?
Absolutely.
I think it would start with Caserio if he came in here.
No. Caserio's not going to tell Bill O'Brien a damn thing to do. He's going to work with him at best. That's the ideal scenario.
At best.
At best. And he's going to work for him, I think, is more realistic.
See, regardless of where we feel, and we can go in circles around this, and the reality is the evidence points in your direction. But regardless, I think the bottom line here is Nick Caserio is the scenario for the Houston Texans. 713-572-4610. Did Romeo Crennel deserve to get fired, John? I want to ask you that. That was the Chris Olsen, kind of a mysterious guy. I think the average Texans fan wouldn't really know much about Chris Olsen and that type of thing.
It was a huge firing, though, but or Romeo, ouster, whatever you want
to call
it.
Been calling for Romeo for a long time. Did Romeo Crennel deserve to get fired?
No. I mean, look at what we're talking about resources here. Look, if he, I think if he wanted to retire and walk away, go for it, man. You've earned it. You know, you've more than earned it. 72 years old. He had a top 10 defense last year, not this past season. Talking about a year before. And this year, they put every resource they could on the offensive side of the ball and were marginally better. And he lost J.J. Watt for half the season. Didn't get a whole lot of help. In terms of personnel and the draft, their best acquisition was Lonnie Johnson, a rookie. And they were still ranked, 19th in scoring defense. Well, the Texans ranked 14th in offense. I mean, they're in the same ballpark, you know, offensively and defensively. And you put all those resources on the offensive side and not the defensive side.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of concerns as far as the offense goes for the Texans. Not much improvement this year, despite all of the resources. And on the other end, you didn't invest many resources on the defense. So, you know, I think the offensive staff deserves to be looked at, and that's why I think Caserio would help that side of things. How much? Who knows? But having a guy that's been in Tom Brady's ear for, you know, the better part of his career, I think would help the Houston Texans, and it would also help Bill O'Brien. Under the assumption that, let's be honest, we don't see very many changes coming on the offensive staff, regardless of what you just said and the data and the fact that there probably should be some.
And here's the other thing with Chris Olsen. There's a sure sign of how good he was and how it might have been a mistake to let him go. And that sign is he's going to be out of work a day.
You think?
Yeah.
You think Chris Olsen's getting another job quickly?
Hell yeah. If not with the NFL, if not with another team, with the NFL. I mean, he worked with the league office before. I mean, he was elite. People forget, you know, every time there was the Texans could be in cap trouble in pick a year. They never were, right? One dude did that, and his staff, but one dude led that, and that's Chris Olsen. Anytime there was this, how are we going to handle this contract with Andre Johnson or whomever it was? Chris Olsen did that. He managed the negotiations, the contracts, and more importantly, the cap. The Texans have been on the brink of cap hell a couple times, but they've never been there. And the reason they've never been there is because Chris Olsen was really, really good at his job. He's going to be hired in an hour, a day. As long as he wants to be unemployed, he'll be unemployed and then he'll get a job.
So the OG John Lopez says, in Chris Olsen, the Texans lost an elite piece. I say Nick Caserio would satisfy all parties involved and give you reason to be optimistic about the Texans heading into 2020. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you on Reaction Monday. But what about the quarterback? Is it time to stop putting Deshaun Watson in the same category as Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes? A member of this show says yes, and the sad reality is he might be right. We'll explain next.
And I don't look at it that way as far as the word power. That's not anything that I even think about. It's really just, you know, trying to do my job as the head coach. My number one job is to coach, and I can, you know, what I can tell the fans is that we have a group of guys that are working really hard to get better every single day, and, you know, we feel like we've definitely improved, and we're excited about the future.
When we talk about the problems with the Houston Texans, the quarterback isn't often brought up. It's thought nationally, ask Dan Orlovsky, that Bill O'Brien holds back Deshaun Watson. A lot of people share that opinion locally. I'm one of those guys. I know Lopez has said it at times as well. But the reality of the situation is a guy can only deal with the card that he has dealt. And Deshaun Watson, for better or worse, is going to have Bill O'Brien spending more time with him than anyone else in that building. So regardless of who, what, when, where, why, would Pat Mahomes be doing what he's doing with the Houston Texans, or would Deshaun Watson be doing what he's doing with the Kansas City Chiefs? The reality is Bill O'Brien is the coach with Deshaun Watson. And we've seen Pat Mahomes be the league MVP two seasons ago, now going to the Super Bowl in just his second full season as a starter. And we see Lamar Jackson. I know it didn't end well, but he's probably going to be the MVP of the league this season. So what does that mean for Deshaun Watson? And is it time for us, just because of the card that we've been dealt in the reality of the situation, to just sit back and accept the fact that Deshaun Watson doesn't need to be mentioned in the same sentence with Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes? John Lopez, yes or no?
Well, he does deserve to be mentioned. I think if you're grading the first couple of years, first 3 years of these guys in the league together, Deshaun Watson's in third place. I mean, he just is. I think what the hope is all these things and all the heat that Bill O'Brien is taking and all the questions around this organization, the hope is it works. I mean, there's no evidence to tell us that it will work going into year seven, because they've been in this endless loop of slightly better than mediocre and never getting past the divisional round of the postseason. So there's no evidence to say such, but the hope is that it works. But if you're grading Landry, 1, 2, 3, Patrick Holmes one by a mile. I'm talking about between these three quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson 2 and Deshaun Watson 3. I mean, let's look at what you would grade. What would you base those grades on? Two AFC championships, an MVP. I mean, two AFC championship games, an MVP, and a Super Bowl appearance, maybe a Super Bowl win for Patrick Mahomes.
He's the best player in the league.
He's the best player in the league.
Best player in the league, period. Nobody's arguing that.
He's the best player of those three by far. He's been put in the best position. He's got the best numbers. He's got the best supporting cast. He's got the best coach. I mean, Patrick Mahomes by a mile among those three guys.
Nobody's disputing that.
Lamar Jackson's is in the next best position because he's got a very good coach that's been to the Super Bowl.
His OC ain't going nowhere, so he's not losing that.
He's not losing that. He has an MVP, and although he hasn't been to the AFC Championship game, they were the best team in the NFL until they did lose to the Tennessee Titans. So what does that leave? That leaves Deshaun Watson with a head coach that has not been able to develop him to that level. Again, you can be the biggest Bill O'Brien fan in the world. You can't argue. There is no argument that Deshaun Watson has reached the level of Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. You just can't do it. He's got talent. You can say he's a talented, and I wouldn't disagree with you. I would absolutely agree with you. But Deshaun Watson is entrenched right now till further notice. 3 years in terms of these three guys, he's in third place.
I can't argue with that.
Right?
I mean, that's the reality. I mean, I can sit here and I can drive myself nuts and I can drive myself crazy to think that it shouldn't be that way. Mm-hmm. And I can tell myself that if Deshaun Watson were on the Kansas City Chiefs, he would have an MVP and a Super Bowl berth as well. And I could say that, you know, in that Baltimore offense with the way that Greg Roman uses Deshaun Watson, that he would be able to do the same things as Lamar Jackson. But that's not reality. You know, we can sit here and discuss hypotheticals, but that's not reality. So based on what you got, and it is important, I mean, it comes into account when you evaluate quarterbacks. I think you do have to say Deshaun Watson's a distant third. And quite frankly, I don't know how many Texans fans would disagree with you.
Right.
Would disagree with what Deshaun Watson, where Deshaun Watson sits on that pecking order. Because even the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and I did this exercise a couple weeks ago, but Troy Aikman had North Turner, one of the best OCs of all time. Joe Montana had Bill Walsh, one of the best offensive minds of all time. Brett Favre had Mike Holmgren. Like, a lot of times for a quarterback to reach that all-time great status, you have to have that guy with you, working with you, that maximizes what you got. So is Deshaun Watson being maximized? Dan Orlovsky said no. Dan Orlovsky watches a lot of tape. He's one of the smarter X's and O guys in the world, so I'll take his word for it. My eyes tell me no, mm-hmm. So I'll deal with that. But that's just the situation that he's dealing with. And based on that, I think we're going to be sitting here, and while those guys are mentioned, you know, that as a group, as we talk about, you know, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, and Pat Mahomes, as we talk about that, those guys are being mentioned in a group. I think when it's all said and done, you know, 20 years from now when these guys retire,
mm-hmm.
Pat Mahomes is going to be the one that we talk about as an all-time great, and he's going to be a distant favorite above the other two because right. He does have that all-time great offensive mind working with him.
Yeah, and remember we did that exercise, like, you know, if the last 16 out of 20 years were all about in the AFC Championship game, either Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or Ben Roethlisberger appeared in 16 out of the 20 AFC Championship games the previous 20 years, who would be who of these three? I think Patrick Mahomes would be Brady. I think Lamar Jackson would be Peyton. And that would leave Deshaun Watson being Ben Roethlisberger, having to do it on his own, and despite sometimes all the things around him. Now, let's also talk about this, because I think this is important. When you talk about the relationship and the future, optimism, if you will, with these young quarterbacks, let's look at all the young quarterbacks. Let's look at the coach-quarterback relationship between the young quarterbacks in the NFL. How would you rank these, all right? I'm just going to give you the coach and the quarterback, and you tell me after you hear them all how you would rank them. Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, Sean McVay, Jared Goff. I'm going with all the young quarterbacks here. Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo. He's still young, isn't he?
Kinda.
Yeah. Obviously Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh.
Greg Norman.
Greg Roman. We don't know about Baker Mayfield, how that's gonna end up. Or Bill O'Brien, Deshaun Watson. Who ranks where? Like young quarterback and coach duos in the NFL.
I mean, it's got to be near the bottom.
It is the bottom.
I mean, it has to be because the head coach, you know, it's not – there's reason to believe that the head coach is an average head coach, and those other guys seem to be a little bit better. Obviously Baker Mayfield's below him, and, you know, you can make your case about Jared Goff, but Sean McVay is so much more superior to Bill O'Brien that I don't know that you can even put Watson and O'Brien above that. So I mean the point is clear, but it is reality, and I guess we just have to deal with it, and we just have to hope that it improves, or we have to sit here and cross our fingers and hope that Deshaun Watson keeps doing these Houdini-ish things that he's been doing. But your point is very, very clear. Patrick Mahomes is
a head and shoulders.
And when you look at Patrick Mahomes, and you look at the States.
Doesn't he do a commercial for head and shoulders?
He does, with Troy Polamalu. I see what you did there.
I didn't mean to.
I mean, if you look at a guy who in his second full year as a starter at the same age as Deshaun Watson is now going to the Super Bowl and has been the AFC Championship both years that he's been a starter, something the Texans have never done in their entire franchise history, you got to think that that's just going to be more and more of a hurdle because the monkey's already been off Patrick Mahomes' back. Right. He doesn't have to overcome anything. Like the Texans, we have to hear, and Deshaun Watson and Bill O'Brien have to hear all the time, well, they've never been to the AFC Championship. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have to hear that. Patrick Mahomes is going to be playing for a Super Bowl in 13 days.
And two MVPs.
And I mean, that's the hurdle. That's the hurdle in your way.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at the teams and overcoming things, that's the hurdle in your way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you don't overcome that. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers barely overcame that with the 90s Cowboys. They did it one time. Mm-hmm. They won that Super Bowl. And you know,
that's a great point.
And the other thing is, a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Cowboys were getting older. Mm-hmm. Like in the mid 90s, Michael Irvin, Troy Aikman, they were gone pretty much by the year 2000. So when the 49ers won their Super Bowl in 94 or whatever it was, the Cowboys were getting older. Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson are the exact same age. That's the point. Like the Pistons, Michael Jordan getting over the Pistons, Pistons got old, and they just went away. Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson are the same age, so it's going to be there forever. Right. You're not going to – it's not going to age for you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at how early they got over that hurdle – you're going to have to get to the point where the coaching quarterback combo is in that same category, or else you're never going to overcome that hurdle.
There's really kind of a Marino, Elway, Montana thing at work here too. You know, Marino went his first year to the Super Bowl and never went again and didn't win one, largely because the other guys were going, you know? So you don't want to be Dan Marino in this case.
And then as soon as Montana went away, Elway got his.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Montana got a little bit older. He had the injuries and stuff like that. It's not gonna happen that way with the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Same age.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's younger ones, too.
My goodness. It's going to be.
Depending on what you feel about some of these guys.
I mean, it's a scary thing to look at. And that's why when we talk about these opportunities, these lost opportunities, when you blow a 24-point lead in Kansas City, it hurts even more. Because we could be looking back, 5, 10 years from now, talking about Pat Mahomes winning all these Super Bowls and all these records and all that type of stuff. And we could be sitting there saying, damn, they never got closer than they did on Sunday. And last Sunday, I should say. And that's it's a tough pill to swallow, John, because that hurdle ain't going nowhere.
It is, and it's frustrating because you even Marino had a good coach, you know, for a big chunk of his career, but he couldn't overcome those other quarterbacks. And you just hope that whatever Bill O'Brien, and this is where it comes full circle, whatever plan he has, takeover he has, power play that he has, you just hope that it works and that something clicks. Again, a lot of evidence in recent history to the contrary.
713-572-4610. It is Reaction Monday here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. Did the Texans make the right decision in firing Romeo Crennel? And what is next? And where is Cal? We'll discuss next. 713-572-4610. Let's go to the phone lines. It is a Martin Luther King Day. Happy MLK Day to those of you that are working with us on the radio.com app and those of you that are not. We always appreciate the loopholes. Shout out to all the loopholes. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Go ahead, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Yes, sir. It's funny how, you know, Bill O'Brien decided to get rid of Clowney, Lamar Jackson, the Honey Badger, all the guys that when his defense was like one of the number one defenses last year, and then he expect Romeo Crennel to do the same thing the previous year when he didn't have the tools. I mean, you look at when they played Kansas City, they just looked slow. They had no really athletes on the field, especially the front seven. It just looked real slow, and I just don't see how that's Romeo Crennel's fault when the defense doesn't have the same type caliber players that we once had. I mean, it was Bill O'Brien's decision to get rid of Clowney and get nothing from him but a couple of linebackers. That's not a Romeo Crennel. That's Bill O'Brien. But yet, Romeo Crennel is taking the heat for it. I just don't understand the move that we're making.
Hey, you and me both,
Mike,
man.
Preach. I mean, preach. I mean, the reality of the situation is Romeo Crennel in three of his 5 years as DC called a top 10 defense. One other year, they were 11th. This year, you completely stripped the team of assets. You didn't even contact Kareem Jackson. You let him walk. You traded Clowney for a bag of peanuts, and you used only one of your top four draft picks on the defensive side of the ball, to the point where you even drafted a tight end that was a project that played water polo that didn't even step on the field.
Yeah, we still don't know about that.
And, oh, by the way, J.J. Watt missed half the season. Mm-hmm. So, sure, maybe you need a new voice. Maybe you need all that. But my question is, what in the hell did you expect from that defense this year?
Hey, nobody was firing Bill O'Brien, and he wasn't firing himself when the narrative on the offensive side of the ball was, well, Arian Foster's aging. Well, Andre Johnson isn't what he used to be. We don't have a franchise quarterback. The offensive line is not that good. Nobody was getting rid of him then. But now they have all the assets, and they're gaining more assets on the offensive side of the ball. And Romeo Crennel gets and I don't want to be too harsh on this. I don't think it was an absolute "you stink, you're fired." I think it was kind of an in between.
He's
of
old man.
It's like, kind of an in between.
You gotta move on sometimes.
It was kind of a combination of you got to move on, and this is a good time for you to move on because you didn't perform well. But nobody was firing Bill O'Brien. When he wasn't performing well, didn't have the personnel.
I didn't bring this up, but it's just now hitting me. And I've been consuming so much information since the season ended that I apologize for this. But this is definitely something nobody's talking about, and I think this is something to keep in mind. I don't know why, and I'm not saying much would have changed. Mm-hmm. So hear me out on this.
Okay.
But in regards to Romeo Crennel this year, I was told by someone that would know he wanted to coach in the booth, but he wasn't allowed to for whatever reason.
Really?
That's what I was told. I was told that Romeo wanted to coach upstairs, but for whatever reason, he had to coach on the sidelines. I don't know if this is true.
Well, there's only one person who could make that decision.
This person is it's someone who would know. It's someone who's around the team all the time.
There's only I believe you.
That's what I was told.
I believe that what you were told, and they would
know. You saw him move on the sidelines. It looked uncomfortable.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is,
I mentioned that in preseason, remember?
Yeah, you did. There's only one person who would make him do that, and that's Bill O'Brien.
Because Romeo's called defense from up top before.
Yeah.
But he was on the sidelines, and I heard that he wanted to be upstairs but was not allowed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you take into account all the resources, all that type of stuff. Look, schematically, nobody here is defending Romeo Crennel. Like,
right.
It was
his best year.
What happened against Kansas City was a disaster.
Yeah.
The point is, I mean, good Lord, What'd you want him to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you invested all those resources in offense. You traded two firsts, a second, a third. You made another trade. You used three of your four draft picks on offensive guys. You did all this stuff, and there wasn't much improvement on offense. As a matter of fact, you can make a case it got worse from 2018 to 2019. Statistically, it did. Well, I'm sorry, but you've never had a top 10 offense. Mm-hmm. So as much as I like Romeo Crennel as a guy, I can understand the move, but I will say, what in the hell did you expect? Really, what was the result you were expecting there?
Yeah, it's not necessarily a firing, but I think it was a gentle nudge out the door, making the decision for him to retire. And I think, you know, if Romeo Crennel went in there and said, you know what, I do want to coach another year, and I want to do it from the booth on game day, well, then he probably would have gotten fired flat out. But he's not going to be back. And that's not to say anything about Anthony Weaver, former Rex Ryan guy.
I think he's going
to
be good.
I think he's going to be good.
I think Anthony Weaver's going to be very good.
Maybe.
I think we're going to like him, too. I think he's going to be very entertaining behind the podium and everything like that.
Yeah, no question about that. I also feel like it's just another string of changes, though, man. Another string of changes. I mean, you know, for a guy that said, let me give you two Bill O'Brien opinions, all right? One is a quote. His first quote was this: I think we're moving in the right direction. His second opinion is based on his actions. We're cleaning house.
And you know what to judge somebody by, right?
Their actions. So you can't say, I think we're moving in the right direction, and make more than maybe one or two cursory moves, but they're cleaning house over there. So which is it?
And it's a wonder. You got to wonder if they're cleaning house for a new GM or if they're cleaning house for BOB to as power to increase even more. That's something that we'll keep an eye on. And the date to look at is May, when Nick Caserio, his contract expires. 713-572-4610.
Keep in mind, real quick, I know we're going to go to the phones here. You still got to do a draft. You still got to do a draft between now and Nick Caserio.
You got to do a draft. My fault. I accidentally hung up on the caller. I think Caserio could help offensively too, as well as all the personnel stuff. So I think that's something to keep an eye on. You also got to do free agency, which with the departure of Chris Olsen, that gets a little bit more difficult, to say the very least. So I don't know what exactly they're planning on doing. Maybe they're going to let Deshaun Watson just play out that fourth year of his deal. Maybe instead of giving him that extension 3 years in, they're going to let Deshaun Watson play out that fourth year of his deal. I don't know if that benefits Bill O'Brien. Well, this is the thing, and this is the theory
that
I have on
that. That's going to be interesting if that happens.
But this is the thing that I want to ask you is if they do decide to have Deshaun Watson play it out as opposed to giving him a contract extension, who does that benefit? Because I think based on the way that the decisions are made right now, I think every move that's made benefits Bill O'Brien. Everything benefits Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an offensive coach. All of your assets are invested on offense.
Right.
He's a guy who wants more power, so you get rid of almost every guy in the building and you get rid of defensive guys. Like that, I'm just saying, like,
no, you're right.
That's the resource. So based on that and based on that line of thinking and the evidence that we have, what would benefit Bill O'Brien the most? Giving Deshaun Watson a contract or having him play it out? I think the answer would probably be giving him a contract, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think not giving Deshaun a contract this year, while it would probably upset Deshaun Watson, ultimately would benefit him. Because then you'd have another year of, all right, is this the right fit? Am I going to get another coach? And at worst case, they're going to re-sign me, and it's going to be for even more money.
Right.
I would take it right now. You never know.
And the other thing, that whole, like, you know, Deshaun Watson came out and said he's going to play hard for Bill O'Brien.
Mm-hmm.
If we are to believe that Bill O'Brien is the king and Bill O'Brien's the guy that makes all the decisions and Bill O'Brien can get everyone fired, why in the hell would a guy that's going to get a record-setting contract or close to it come out and speak bad about the guy in charge? Like, that's just not a good business decision.
Exactly.
So, of course, you're
helping, again, goes back to you're helping your, and, you know, number one, first of all.
And if you go back and actually listen to the quote, Deshaun just said he's going to play hard. I mean, he said he's going to play hard for him as long as he's the quarterback, which, no duh. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Maria. Maria, sorry I hung up on you. You're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
That's okay. Hey, you know, I'm sickened by hearing all of this. This is what we've been hearing forever. I don't understand why the the owners will not make any public statement. That really concerns me. I don't think Deshaun Watson understands what he isn't getting, because he does. Maybe he doesn't realize what a better coach would be for him and how much more he could achieve. And I also think that all season ticket holders, and I've been a season ticket holder in Houston football since the Oilers drafted Earl Campbell, should quit buying any Texans merchandise and let the ownership know, because it seems to be that that's the only way they'll listen, how unhappy they are with the direction that the team is taking.
I appreciate the call.
Thank you so much, Maria.
I think Deshaun Watson, every player, to at least for a while, is really loyal to the guy that drafts him, especially when you drop a little bit in the draft. Now, he didn't drop much, but other quarterbacks were were taken ahead of him. And so I think Deshaun Watson has a certain loyalty to Bill O'Brien. But make no mistake, Deshaun Watson knows offense. I mean, he knows what makes him work. He's played for Dabo Sweeney. He's been around all these other quarterbacks. He knows what coaches do what in the NFL. If he has kind of like a wandering eye, so to speak, in terms of the offense that he wants to run and would be best for the Texans, I think he'll let that known eventually, but he's just not going to let it known publicly.
Not right now.
Yeah.
Not while you're still trying to get that bread. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Jason. Jason, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm going to try to remain as calm as possible.
let it out, man. Let it out.
Well, I mean, honestly, I just got to tell you how annoyed I am with the fact of, and OG, you talked about this earlier, about the firing of Chris Olsen. I think most fans probably don't get how important this man was to the franchise. A lot of fans don't. The guys in the media do because they know him and everything else. But to be around for the 12, 13 years, whatever, to be brought in with Coops, to stay the tenure there, and then also to do what he does financially for that team is what you said earlier nobody's really talking about. This guy was a genius when it came to the salary cap, to be able to know who to sign, when to sign, how long you can extend, all these different things. And with the fact that what Bill O'Brien is doing in that building, and I'm just, you know, warning and just let all the fans know right now, just get used to it. As long as that man is in the building, this job, first of all, is way above his pay grade. He may be a great motivator of young men at Penn State. He may be a great assistant coach in the NFL, but he is not an NFL football coach. And I know you guys, you know, believe the same thing because it's above the, you know, the things that he does and what he does. But to make this move was almost the final straw in my mind to break the camel's back. Because we have no draft picks, because we have big contract extensions coming up, and we have all of these things to get rid of a guy like that, like Chris Olsen, who basically gave him the ability to sign and trade and do all those things, is just absolutely just – I'm just prepared now for mediocrity. Yes, we'll win divisions, and yes, we'll go to the playoffs, but we will not win a Super Bowl. We will not win an AFC championship, and I firmly believe that as long as that man, Bill O'Brien, is in the building.
Well, that's a great call, Jason. I appreciate it. And boy, I'm with you. I co-sign everything you said, because the one thing that can devastate a team is – well, there's two. Number one is losing a lot of draft picks. And number two is getting in salary cap hell. Well, they've lost two number one draft picks, number two draft pick already based on the trades that they've made and others. And now Chris Olsen was so good at what he did in keeping the Texans from trouble in the salary cap. They were on the brink a couple times that I remember, maybe more than a couple of times. And yet he found a way to get it done, to manipulate the numbers. And then beyond that, to do the negotiations, to do the renegotiations, to make another player fit. Look, a lot of people do it, but he was really, really good at it. And if this crumbles, it's going to be one of the kind of unseen factors in this organization getting into some trouble.
I think the one thing to keep in mind here when we talk about this type of stuff is, number one, like, we just have heard from people you've heard for like a decade plus about what Chris Olsen is and how valuable he is.
13 years.
And we've heard it from guys like Bill O'Brien. Mm-hmm. So that's one reason why when this happened, a lot of people were upset. Another reason why, and I think this speaks to just the state, the helplessness, the apathy, if you will, of the current state of this organization, where Bill O'Brien appears to be king, according to John McClain, who's going to join us tomorrow, is that even if we didn't know who Chris Olsen was, and even if the people didn't know what Chris Olsen did and how valuable he was or wasn't to this organization, I think the fact that people feel so helpless and so uneasy with how Bill O'Brien is running things and how it appears Bill O'Brien is running things, even if Chris Olsen would have been awful at his job, the people who didn't know that would have automatically assumed that it was a bad move because nobody trusts Bill O'Brien
anymore.
That's a
great point.
Like, that's the whole point. Like, people do not trust Bill O'Brien. So, and he doesn't have the benefit of the doubt. So that's the thing. Like, we know what Chris Olsen did, but even if we didn't, I think the fact that people think Bill O'Brien's in over his head and he's not doing his thing, the trust issues would be there regardless.
That's a great point. It's like when a really good organization drafts a player in the fifth round. Like, let's say the Patriots draft somebody you never heard of in the fifth round.
You automatically think, that
guy's going to be a stud.
How do we pass on him?
Exactly.
How do we pass on that guy?
You know, the Spurs draft a foreign player from, you know, Turkey. You're like, well, there's an all-star.
Yes.
You know?
It's the opposite Bill O'Brien
right now.
It's the opposite.
He makes a move to fire Chris Olsen. You're like, oh, boy, did he bleep that up. You know?
Seriously, like the Patriots sign, like, Cordell Patterson. You're like, oh, my. Gosh,
here's a Pro Bowler.
How the hell did that happen? That's where it is. I mean, it's trust issues along with the substance. I just don't think that Bill O'Brien has the trust right now, and I think you can see it in the phone calls. Just all the loopholes that are calling in, whether it's the woman who called who's had season tickets since Earl Campbell, whether it's the millennials calling in, throwing out all that stuff. He just doesn't have the trust of people
equity.
Right now.
It's about equity.
It's the equity, and it's the effectiveness, and it's what your eyes have told you. He just does not have that right now. Let's go to Adam. Adam, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. You guys do a great job. I love listening to you guys. But, Landry, every once in a while you get a weird – you get too into your emotions and you come up with a weird take. I remember last week you were saying Bill O'Brien could be fired in the next few days, and now he's out there terminating other guys in the building, growing his resources, growing his influence, you know, spreading his tentacles to other parts of the organization that he really shouldn't be managing. You know, I agree with you that he should be fired, but unfortunately it looks like his influence is just growing and growing, and until we move on from him, we'll never be in the AFC Championship game. We'll never be with the in the Super Bowl. I completely co-sign, like Lopez just said, what the last caller said. We're never going anywhere with this guy. I wish you were right. I wish he was being fired in the next few days, but instead he's getting more power. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, I mean, Adam, I do get in my feelings sometimes, so I will agree with you. But I really did think, and I wasn't just throwing it against the wall and stick and hoping it sticked. I really did think there was a possibility that it would happen. I really, really did, John. Mm-hmm. And it's not. I get what you're saying. I get what everyone else is saying. But I thought it was possible that it would happen. I think this is setting up for Nick Caserio. I don't know how much what Nick Caserio's role is going to be, but I think regardless of whether he's working below B.O.B., whether he's working above B.O.B., I think Nick Caserio will at least make stuff a little bit better. But I really did think that it was a possibility last week, John.
Well, you did.
I really did.
You did.
And I wasn't pulling it out of my butt. Yeah. I thought it was a possibility for many reasons.
I would like the Nick Caserio hire. Don't get me wrong, because you and I have differed on exactly what it would mean. So I would love the Caserio hire. If only because it takes something else off of O'Brien's plate.
I mean, damn, you've been trying for a year.
You know, right? I just don't think Caserio's going to have the leverage, the power, the voice. You know, he's going to be working for Bill O'Brien.
Which, I mean, and you could be right. I could be right. But it would be nice to be able to have that discussion with him in the building.
Yes,
you know, with Nick Caserio already being there, because I'll tell you one thing: Nick Caserio will provide you with that you've been asking for, that we had people at Loopholes ask for earlier on in the show. A voice, he will talk. Like Nick Caserio,
well, he has.
Nick Caserio,
will he be allowed?
He speaks with the Patriots. Nick Caserio will talk,
but will he be?
He will give you
who's
some
allowed
transparency.
To talk right now.
Bill O'Brien.
That's it.
We haven't heard from Cal McNair in 212 days.
Yeah,
going back to June. Bill O'Brien's look at his.
What does Jack Easterby's voice sound like?
I mean, I can go back and listen to the highlight tapes. Makes me want to. Makes
from
me want to.
What? 2 years ago?
Six
years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. I like his voice.
There's
I'd
one.
Like to hear
but there's
some
only
Easterby
one too. You listen to that you hear from.
Yeah. It is. It's very, very true. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Trey. Trey, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I was calling just to make two quick comments. I really like the topics that you have going on, but I think my number one comment is I think Mike D'Antoni should be grateful that our other two sports teams are in such disarray because he is such a horrible coach. And then number two, I think that Cal McNair had to have made a personal decision to keep OB for one more year after they let Brian Gain go. Just the way organizations are, working HR, they don't always move as fast as we would want them to. So I really think when they let Brian Gain go, they decided they were all in on OB for at least another 2 years.
Okay, there you go. Damn, drive-by at D'Antoni.
Yeah.
Rockets tipping off, by the way, in 3 hours.
McClain says he'll be the coach this year, this coming year, and another year, at least.
That's what he said. I mean, the contract. Man,
can you imagine going into year 9?
Yeah.
And not getting past – the San Francisco 49ers are in the Super Bowl 1 year after going 4-12.
It's pretty impressive.
With no real big personnel changes.
Shout out to Kyle Shanahan,
yeah,
former Texans assistant.
I mean, what are their biggest personnel acquisitions? Bosa?
I mean, yeah, they had the second round. They had the second, and they picked Bosa. I mean, they got George Kittle. I mean,
oh, yeah,
they
Kittle.
Traded a second for Jimmy Garoppolo. George Kittle's, what, a fifth-round pick?
But Garoppolo's been there. He just wasn't playing.
Yeah, you want to know something depressing? And I've gotten to where I just localize stuff, and it's basically just like hitting myself in the nuts. George Kittle is a fifth-round pick from the 2017 draft. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fifth-round pick. So pretty much every team passed on him 5 times, right? Arguably the best tight end in the league. The Texans have used 2 third-round picks and a 6th-round pick on tight ends. And what the hell do we have to show for it? A freaking water polo tight end that looks good in shorts on the sidelines? 713-572-4610. Sorry, buddy. Sorry, water polo guy. Greg, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Listen, you know, I just haven't been able to call in since midway through the season, seeing how this was going. And the question we have to ask is, what's he still doing here? How could you possibly be here? You do realize that since O'Brien took over, every other person, every other team in our division, our piss-poor division, has been to the AFC Championship game. How is that possible that the Jags have been and the Texans can't get there? And then we go out there and blow a 24-point lead to take us to play the 6th seed, who we whip all the time in our own house to go to the Super Bowl, and we can't do that? And then O'Brien goes back. The one person he doesn't fire is Devlin. No, he's safe because he only took Tunsil and made him worse, the guy we gave up 2 first-round picks for, which, by the way, let me go on this. If you take Watson and Tunsil's salary, their new contracts that add them together, how much is that going to be?
About $50 million.
Yeah, about $50 million.
Buy cap. So you're out of cap space. You got no draft picks. And all we're doing is giving the guy more power? Seriously, this is insanity. This is why I can't listen. This is why I can't call in. I'm about to blow my mind open.
I get it, man.
I get you, man. I feel you. We're here for you, man. I mean, it ain't easy for us either, but we're all in this together. I mean, if you think myself and John Lopez are walking down the hall saying, oh, all right, we get to talk. No, it's our obligation. It's our duty. And as members of the community of Houston, it's what we got to do. So just stay with us, Greg. We're with you. We're here for you. If you ever need therapy, give us a call. We are here, but we're all in this together. That's the bottom line. Shout out to all the loopholes.
Two biggest contract negotiations in the history of the organization, and you fire your capologist negotiator.
What is Tunsil negotiation? Like, is that even a negotiation?
Give me what I want.
Give me the...
No, it is.
I know what I'm saying. That's not even a negotiation.
They're going to have to say,
what are they going to
say?
Highest.
I mean, you can't. You traded for the guy without negotiating. Like, there's no negotiation
with
Tunsil.
They can't deny wanting him. They gave up 2 firsts.
What are they going to do? Let him go?
Yeah.
I mean, what's your negotiation with Tunsil?
What if he, like said, well, screw it?
Like, with Deshaun, you can at least say, okay, we're going to let you play your 4th year, and then we're going to pick up that 5th year option, okay? You can either hold out or you can come here. You have some leverage with Deshaun.
Or you can say, okay, look at Garoppolo's contract, look at Mahomes' contract. We're going to do right below that. They're in the Super Bowl.
But you don't. But you, know but you still have some sort of leverage.
Right.
Some sort of leverage.
None. And you just fired the dude that could maybe, you know, help in that situation.
Tunsil's going to break the bank.
He's going to kill him.
My gosh,
he's going to kill him.
He might as well wear a mask when he goes in there and starts talking about his contract.
Well, he's won one before.
572-46.
I mean,
1-0. He has. He has worn a gas
mask.
Don't
tee it up if you don't want me to hit it.
I didn't even mean to tee that up, but you just straight up hit it anyway. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locke. Let's go around the NFL, take some more calls as Reaction Monday continues next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.